Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God that engages us this morning is the lesson just read, specifically the last verse, Jeremiah 13, verse 11. For just as the loincloth clings to one's loins, so I have made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, says Yahweh, so that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen. When John Malloy wrote his book in 1975, Dress for Success, I'm confident he didn't have me in mind. If it wasn't for my wife Lisa, I would still be wearing orange ties with pink shirts with the leisure suit my mother bought me in 1976. I would be on this campus the geek of the week and the head Hebrew nerd of the herd. Let's just say that dressing for success is not my spiritual gift. And that's why I like Jeremiah. Yahweh commands the prophet to go and buy an azor. Now, an azor is commonly translated from the Hebrew to the English as waistband or undergarment or loincloth, but for my Hebrew money, the best English dynamic equivalent for azor would be Hanes or Fruit of the Loom. That's right. Yahweh commands Jeremiah to go buy underwear, which normally consisted of leather in Hebrew. Major point. Leather. But in verse 2 of Jeremiah 13, the prophet is commanded to go purchase azor pishtim, linen underwear. Now, who wore linen underwear in Israel? Answer, the priests. See, only priests would have linen undergarments, so Jeremiah's undergarment conveys the truth of Exodus 19, verse 6, namely that all of Israel was for Yahweh a kingdom of priests. They were all holy. They were all sacred. They were all set apart for Yahweh. The verb used to define this close and intimate relationship between Yahweh and all of Israel in Jeremiah 13, verse 11, is devak. Devak means to cling, cleave, be bound, be united. It first appears in Genesis 2, verse 24. Therefore, a man will leave his father and mother, vadevak, and cleave, cling, be bound, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Ruth 1:14 uses devak to define the tenacious and relentless commitment Ruth has for Naomi. Later in that same chapter, Ruth will tell us what it means to devak. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. By means of the patriarchal promises, the Exodus deliverance, and the land conquest, Yahweh and Israel, the two, actually became one. His salvation was Israel's salvation. His mission, their mission. Where Yahweh went, Israel went. Where he stayed, Israel stayed. He was their God, and they were his people to be for him. A name, and a praise, and an endless glory. But they would not listen. Reminds me of an anniversary card. On the front it has a couple in their golden years sitting on a park bench. The wife snuggled up to her husband says, "It's so nice to have you near," to which the husband responds, "Why, yes, I'd like another beer." Over the years, Israel had also grown deaf. Yahweh had spoken words of love. He called them his chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He called them segulah, his prized, priceless possession. Israel was precious and honored in Yahweh's sight, and he loved them. But Israel would have none of it. They would not listen. So Yahweh commands the prophet in Jeremiah 13, verse 1, not to dip his underwear in water. Now, normally, Israelites would wear their undergarments by day, wash them by night because they just had one, and then wear them the next day. But Jeremiah goes several days without washing his undergarments. Or was it several weeks? Or dare I ask it, did Jeremiah parade around Jerusalem in unwashed underwear for several months? The text doesn't say. According to my exegetical analysis, Jeremiah's underwear smelled a high, holy heaven. And you can bet the prophet took some heat. Jeremiah, don't you know where Walmart is? Jeremiah, haven't you ever heard of pastoral etiquette? Have you had UTEC yet? And then you can bet there was that group that remembered the song by Three Dog Night. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Well, this bullfrog of a prophet is commanded to go to Pereth. It's a village some 5 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And bury the underwear. You can just imagine what Jeremiah was saying to himself. At last, see you later, good riddance, loincloth. But after many days, Yahweh commanded him to go back to Pereth and dig up the loincloth, and you can just imagine what Jeremiah gulped and gasped. Now this is good for nothing. And there went Jeremiah again, parading around the streets of Jerusalem again, with his worthless underwear again. But this time he has a word from Yahweh. Quote, thus says Yahweh, just so I will spoil and ruin the great pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, because this evil people who refuses to listen to me will become like this loincloth, which is good for nothing. And the prophetic word was fulfilled. In 587 BC, Israel was buried in Babylon, all because they would not listen. Jeremiah says it's pride that causes me not to listen to anyone, anywhere, anytime, anyhow. See, pride says, I like what I say to me. Pride says, Reed, you're not bad, pal. You can chart your own course. You can be your moral compass. You are the man. And neglecting the truth of Jeremiah 17, verse 9, I find myself buried in Babylon. For Jeremiah 17, 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And listening to this heart, suddenly cynicism and slander and envy and lust drag me through the mud and the muck and the mire. And just like Jeremiah's underwear, just like Israel, all of us are dirty and soiled and good for nothing. But the verb, the verb that defines Yahweh's action and feelings and commitment to us in our text is davak, binds, tie, be united, cling, cleave to you. From the depths of his heart, Yahweh says, just here, just now, I am your God and you are my people. How can this be? There was another prophet in Israel who, just like Jeremiah, said, I will not dress for success. Why, at one point, he girded himself in menial slave clothes and washed feet. And another point, he allowed people to strip him naked and get beaten into a bloody pulp. But that was just the beginning on that day. There would be an even greater scandalous turn of events, because on that same day, Jesus and your sin became bound together, didn't they? They became united. Jesus and sin became one in his flesh. Paul says, he who had no sin became sin for us. But Peter is more exact here. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Cain was a murderer. But Jesus of Nazareth became the world's greatest murderer. Because you see, he bore in his body on the tree every hateful word, every horrific cheapening of life, every abortion. Achan was a thief. Jesus became the world's greatest thief. He bore in his body on the tree every dishonest act, every white-collar crime. And David was an adulterer, par excellence. But Jesus of Nazareth became the world's greatest adulterer because he bore in his body on the tree every lustful look, every piece of pornography. And those who orchestrated this bloody mess concluded that Jesus of Nazareth is absolutely useless. And what do you do with something or someone that's good for nothing? Well, just ask Jeremiah. You dig a hole and bury it. But just as Yahweh could never, ever leave his Israel permanently buried in Babylon, so Yahweh could never leave his son Jesus permanently buried in the tomb. And it all means, brothers and sisters, Yahweh will never leave you burdened in that dirt or buried in your death. By faith alone, we are dressed in righteousness. These are those, John says, Revelation 7:14, these are those who have come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, but there's more. There's always infinitely more in the gospel. All of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Devak. It is Yahweh's persistent and tenacious commitment to you. Paul says nothing in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He will persistently and tenaciously cling and cleave to you all the days of your life, to the end that our lives become for him a name and a praise and an endless glory, and we will listen. Oh God, we will listen to you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.